It's Tuesday evening, September 14th.
Lord, we ask for your blessing on our time tonight, that again your truth would flow. We thank you for your faithfulness in that. And we ask again that it would be your truth that we would receive, Lord, by your Spirit. Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
Well, I had a question that I tried to answer myself. The Bible says that the Jews were God's chosen people. And, you know, we see him all the time, from Abraham, Moses, and we see a lineage supported. We even see it through the use of the kings and the, you know, the division of the Israel and Judah. And I was trying to think about it. I thought, why was Israel God's chosen people? Why did it have to be them? But you know, the answer probably is a lot more simple than what we realize. It says that in the beginning that God created heaven and earth. And he made the sun, he made the moon, he made the stars, he made, you know, he made what we see. But in the beginning does not represent God himself, because he was eternal. So at some point, he called it the beginning. And one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years. So did he create all of this in 6 days, 6 24-hour days, or were they longer period of time? We don't know that. But we can follow the thing that we do have is a lineage supported through the scriptures, which gives us the life of Abraham and the life of a certain a certain thing that leads us right up to Christ. So no matter what God's intentions were, it required David, it required Abraham, it required some of these people in order to make this thing what it was. He had to produce these people, and so he comes up with a man called David. And David was a man of light passions like we are, but he had a certain characteristics that were not like any of the things that I created. And he wrestled a bear and he killed it. He wrestled a lion and he killed it. And he fought against Goliath and he killed him. And he wasn't a match for anything that he did. It was the power of God that was upon him that created it, that he used to do what he did. And so God said, he's a man after my heart. He will do what I ask him to do. And so then you see him killing the husband of Bathsheba, and you see him doing things that were not necessarily godly. And it's kind of like God just he didn't excuse it.
Gave him kind of a pass, though, didn't he?
Yeah. But when I see the what is mentioned about David, it makes me wonder, why did God do that? But God does what He does. He has mercy on those He has mercy on. He creates something like Pharaoh, there to show his own power. So he's not really, as far as we're concerned, he's not really in the dimension that we've always considered. Do you not follow what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He doesn't think the way that we think.
You know, you were kind of outlining the history of the Jews, and it put me to thinking about Abraham. And, you know, God promised, your descendants will be as the grains of sand on the sea, you know, as far as the, you know, as many stars as you see in the sky, that'll be the number of your descendants, you know. And then he doesn't have a single child until, I don't know how old he was when Ishmael was born, but 90, was he? And then 100 when Isaac was born. But, you know, I think there might be something foundational or something about that. You know, that, and here he was wandering around doing all this, you know, went to and fro, you know. But he laid hold of a promise that, you look at it, it's ridiculous. But that kind of faith, it was just a foundational thing for what the Jews are. And it was, qualified them or something to be chosen, you know, their father was Abraham. Their father was Abraham, you know.
And he looked for a city.
Yes, and he looked for that city.
And you know what? That's what God wants us to do.
Yes, that's right. And I think that's foundational, too, yeah. To be looking for a city.
And the city is not here.
No. Right. Read a book one time, a novel, by a Jewish author. And the guy was, he was an atheist or whatever, you know, or agnostic or whatever. Didn't accept that there was any God. But he couldn't stop talking about God. Which, you know, if you don't accept that there's a God, well, forget about it, you know. Go about your business, don't. But he just couldn't. He had this itch at his that he couldn't reach. He could, you know, couldn't get at it, you know. And wouldn't you expect that out of the Jews at this point, when they are given an itch that they can't get at, they can't scratch that thing. And there will be a day in which that itch is scratched. But, you know, Paul talks about, you know, the grafting of the natural, of the olive branch. We're the wild olive branch. We're what doesn't really belong on that tree. But how much more will the natural branch thrive when returned to the tree that it came from. That, you know, whatever. But anyway, we get to be sons of Adam in some kind of way, you know, by virtue of being grafted onto. We're the wild olive branch, but we're in that tree, you know. Now Paul says, "Don't be high-minded about it all." You know, the natural olive branch belongs on that tree a whole lot more than the wild olive branch does. But
yeah, how much more will they be grafted in when they get accept Christ?
Yeah,
is that what it says?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
It doesn't look promising at this point.
Oh, no. Well, it didn't look too promising when Abraham was getting to be about 88, 89. You know. Yeah. It did not look promising. Then God promises, you know, your descendants. Yeah, that's just crazy, all that, you know. There was Isaac. Then he's supposed to sacrifice him, for crying out loud. Ooh.
It's a funny thing. Israel never became Israel until Jacob was born. And Jacob and Esau, and of course the Bible says that God loved Jacob and he that hated Esau. Whether that is an accurate word or not, who knows? Whether he actually hated him or because he blessed him. There was a lot of blessings that were on Esau. But Jacob wrestled with an angel after he came back from Leah and
Rachel?
His brother's brother, was it?
Yeah, he was going back to Esau.
Yeah. You know, a lot of strange things that happened. Like, Abraham was moved in, or came into a country, and he told them that his wife was his sister.
Right.
You know that she was?
Yeah, right. Half-sister or whatever.
He was his sister. They both had the same dad.
Yeah. Another funny thing, you know, Jacob, the thing that people claim is true of the Jews, characteristics, Jewish characteristics, they kind of were true of Jacob.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? And then, but they thrive. You get a whole bunch of goats. You know? It just seems as though that stuff is ordained some kind of way. Why should Jews in the 20th, 21st century be, "Hey, I see a lot of Jacob in you, fella."
Yeah. It would seem like even over in this country, if they touched a stone and turned to gold, whatever they did, prospered.
And, you know, he was just mistreated by his father-in-law.
Yeah.
Well, then he got the better of him, you know. Made use of what kind of limited circumstances he had and prospered.
Yeah, the Jews that were in Egypt prospered on until another king came out, another pharaoh came in, and he didn't know Joseph, and so he started putting pressure on him, and it's a funny thing. You know, we don't really have, was Jacob the father? His name was changed to Israel, wasn't it?
Right. They kept calling him Jacob, but yeah.
Yeah, he became the the father of the Jews.
All his sons were the various tribes, you know, 12 tribes.
But anyway, I had to do a lot of backtracking, a lot of thinking in my mind to realize how that the Jews were God's chosen people. You know? And it started with the creation of Adam. But did God make other people besides Adam? You know? It appears that he made Melchizedek. You know, did he make other people? Yeah. Who knows?
Where did King's work come from?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what it's kind of like, where did she come from?
Well, I always wondered when David just had to keep killing all these people, all these types of people. It's like, you know, all these other groups are running them off the land, and I'm going, well, you know, it's kind of like the Bible focuses on this little tract of folks, but it seems like there were other folks that were around. They just didn't have the, weren't born with the silver spoon, you know. So, but they were there later on to get walloped.
I wonder if, people were more pure in the beginning, because it kind of says that, you know, they lived longer because they weren't being degraded by sin as much yet. So maybe it just doesn't mention that Eve had daughters, and maybe the sons married their sisters, you know. Because the line was still pure, there wouldn't be any... You know, I don't know. That's just a thought that came.
If it wasn't Cain. Cain was kicked out of the Garden of Eden.
Cain?
When he killed Abel, he was...
Well, they were already out of the Garden of Eden, all of them.
Yeah. But he was sent, you're right, he was sent off.
He was sent off.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Be a nomad, have no,
right.
No land.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
And there were people that were out there that he ended up hooking up with. That we just didn't, you know, it's like...
Did he find a wife from some city? Is that what it says?
Gosh, that's crazy. Yeah, and it's like, how were there cities already when they were the firstborn of Adam, you know?
Yeah. There's a lot the Bible doesn't tell us, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's it. Well, I'm not going to let you be filled in on that.
Yeah,
Well, the one that always baffles me is the angel. Sounds like angels came down and laid with women.
Fallen angels, do you?
All right.
They're locked up. They're chained up now yet to be released today, according to the Bible.
But it makes it sound like they, you know, were with women.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So supposedly that was a... Goliath came from through that marriage somehow? Being a giant?
What was it? The Nebulites? No, it was the giant people, the giants.
Yeah, right.
Didn't they have a name for them, I thought?
Yeah, there was some kind of name.
I think God probably said, hey, you only need to know about my lineage. that I am blessed. You don't need to know about the rest of my foot on this earth.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Mm. You know, all it says is Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived. It gives us a lot of information.
And he built a city.
Pardon?
He built a city, and he named his city by the name of his son, Enoch. So, Enoch was, his father was Cain. Might be a different Enoch.
Yeah, when I read that too, I thought, wait a minute, there's more than one Enoch, because one of them was in the righteous line, I believe.
I don't know. You start asking these perfectly reasonable questions, and all it does is create trouble.
Yeah, when you say, why were the children of God the children of God?
Yeah. I mean, there are some that lead you into, you know, illuminating truth. And others just, nothing good goes there. But I
have a little more money.
Yeah. I take an interest in the fact that all the troubles that the Jews had fighting, the Philistines and all the other people that were in the land, they're doing the same thing today with the Palestinians.
Yeah.
Same, and it's all a big battle over land. I have, those settlers, the Jewish settlers that go into the land that's kind of designated as the Palestinians' land, but according to the Bible, they're part of, I've heard someone ask, what's this big deal about land?
The Gaza Strip, is that the one that's kind of the Gaza Strip? Isn't that?
This is more settlers on the west bank of the, which is east of, But these Jewish settlers, they just got this ridiculous obsession about land. Well, you read the Old Testament, and you can ask the very same question. What's this big obsession about land?
Well, a lot of it is because God said, I will give you this land.
Yeah, right.
Go in and take it.
God attached significance to, and it's a continuing significance, and it's
today,
one that doesn't make any sense in the natural.
Yeah, because I think they're still operating in the natural beyond what he probably gave them.
It's part of the land that was originally.
Well,
they're operating in the natural. There's no question about that.
Yeah.
But you do that until the Spirit comes.
Yeah. And if it was land that they had been given centuries before, and then now they feel it's still theirs, I can understand why.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, it's contested in the same kind of way that you read about in the Bible, and just because a bunch of newspapers and commentators and whatever in the United States and Western Europe think it's just awful, the things they do there. We're supposed to please you. Come on now.
It says that Adam lived 130 years, and and begat a son in his own likeness, after his image, and called his name Seth. And the days of Adam, after he had begotten Seth, were 800 years, and he begat sons and daughters.
Well, that creates all the cities, I guess.
Yeah,
so you don't know.
Right. Yeah, we forget. They were living 700, 800, 900 years. So.
Yeah, having kids for
kids
600.
At least 700, yeah.
Depending on how fertile you are at that time. And
I mean, you didn't even start having kids until you were over 100.
Right. then you really got going.
Yeah. You were matured then.
Yeah, right.
One of the surprises that I get ran into was the life of Abraham. You know, he, at 100 years old, he had, the person was Ishmael, and then, who was the son of promise, the real?
Isaac.
Isaac. But, you know, after Sarah died, he got married again to a woman named Keturah, and he had four more sons.
Yeah.
You know, you don't just see that until you happen to just accidentally run into it. And Seth lived 105 years and begot Enos, which could be Enoch.
That's probably the Enoch, right? Corky's Enoch.
Dude was so good.
Right.
Don't assume Enos could have been a man of his own, and there was another Enoch.
Yeah, there's already two of them.
So, I mean,
who's to say there wasn't a third?
Well, I don't know. One that
this Enos was not Enoch, because he lived after he had begotten Canaan 815 years.
Yeah.
Oh.
We'll be taken away from Enoch.
You're right in there with Corky as far as Enoch goes.
You have to give him a little bit of special props, because the way the scriptures describe it, he avoids death. Unless when God took him, he went through death, but the scripture doesn't say that. Never found a body, and he was pleased with him, and that's why he was all of a sudden, he said, the Lord took him.
Uh-huh.
And Jared lived 162 years and begat Enoch.
Okay.
And Jared lived after he had begat Enoch 800 years, begat sons and daughters.
That could possibly be the Enoch.
Heck, you could make a whole lot of cities out of them.
Oh, yeah.
And
Enoch walked with God.
There you go. See,
after he began.
There's our guy.
300 years, and begat sons and daughters. All of the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God. I'm going to leave him there.
He was not, for God took him. Sounds like that. Glenn's right. There was no corpse.
Didn't show up for dinner, and they said, "Hey, God." And I don't mean to be flippant, but I mean, wasn't like someone could, pull out the cell phone and try to give him a call. He just never came back from wherever he was.
Right.
But you think about it: someone has a child at 160 years, and then has more and more children for 500 more years, and so. Your daughter could also be someone's great-great-aunt. You know, the lineage was
But somehow, somebody knew that God took Enoch because it's recorded.
It's reported.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, this is in the first five books, right?
Yeah.
So God told Moses that's what happened.
Well, yeah, that could be.
I suppose that's.
And the thing is, nobody has to tell anybody anything. God can tell them.
Well, that's right. That's
well, if those first five books are written by Moses, then they, then
it's
perfectly right. You know,
how much God gave Moses to record? My goodness,
man, get writer's cramp. Huh?
Yeah.
When I read that, you wrote the first five. I wondered, where did you find time to do this?
I know.
You know, I mean, considering his position with the people and everything, where did you find the time to write these five books?
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
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 He could have, or, you know, orally given it to someone, but still, you'd have to be spending the time doing that with someone recording it.
It probably was oral.
Yeah.
From, you know.
To a scribe.
And then it was
Ritter's
to writing here at some point along the line, yeah.
It still involves time.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, well.
Moses.
How long did Moses live? 400?
No, I think 120. Or
what? That's what I thought.
Oh, oh yeah, maybe that's true.
He started his ministry at age
40.
80. No, he, at age 40,
oh,
he went out to the backside of the desert.
He went out to the backside. And then, yeah.
40.
Okay.
Was it? So he was 80 when he.
Yeah. Deuteronomy 34:7 says Moses lived 120 years.
Okay.
But he did not grow old and feeble.
Yeah.
Right.
He was his vigor abated until the Lord took him. And that's, it doesn't say that, but he didn't cross over and they don't know where his bones are, so you don't know. But, but you're right, Glenn. I mean, wasn't that when they broke up the tribes into the groups of the 10, the hundreds, and the 1,000, and to try and alleviate some of the squabbling things about whose chicken this was and whose goat that was. I mean, they
do a little organizing, huh?
They did because he, you know.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. And you know, you wonder how God communicated to him, and it could have been. He just got it really quick and spent the rest of the time talking to the scribes, and maybe had three or four guys if that's all they did. But, And he protected those scrolls and made sure that we found them and protected the knowledge that he felt needed to be protected.
Yeah.
But... yeah, I never saw a clear thing as to how the Jews became God's chosen people other than God said.
These are my chosen people.
And I looked it up and I said, that's all it takes.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, you sin not. Who says? I say, okay. End of discussion, you know. So these are my chosen people.
I do think, you know, what I was saying before, I didn't know that when I walked through this door, you know. But that foundation of Abraham doing what Abraham did, having faith that was ridiculous, but claiming the promise of whatever, looking for that city, and being told he was promised, his descendants would be as the stars of the sky, but you're still not having any children. Yeah.
Well, where's the reference first made that they're his chosen people?
Well, I think they are. I mean, they receive special treatment.
Yeah, but I'm just curious where God's first reference was that these are my chosen.
That term, chosen?
Yeah. See, because I'm wondering, well, that it gets said later, referring all the way back even. Yeah, I don't think it was you're saying it's probably, it wasn't before Abraham.
No, it was, he was, Abraham was the father. He was the,
yeah.
He was it. And it was complicated by Ishmael there. He's also the father of the Arabs too. So.
Yeah.
There's always got to be a complication.
Yeah, right.
I mean, obviously God was starting to favor certain ones right from the beginning, like he did with Abel and Cain, you know.
Maybe yep. Exodus 22:31. You are to be my holy people. You must not eat the meat of the mauled animal. That's, I'm scrolling through where I, that's the earliest book that I see where that's said.
Where's that at?
Well, that
Exodus
was...
Exodus 23, did you say?
Exodus 22:31. However, Exodus 19:5, now if you obey me fully and keep my covenant and keep my, you are to be my special possession of all the peoples because the whole earth belong to me. So he's kind of, there's a, follow what I tell you and you, and that, but that's a little early, that's Exodus 19.
Yeah, I suppose that's chosen.
Yeah. I don't know. I was just curious. I was wondering.
We're taking it as fact, and it's like, well, where in the scripture does it make that claim? Mm. Which I think is always a good thing for us to be doing.
Yeah, that's right. That's my question.
Spout off and like, oh yeah, this is what it says. Really?
Yeah.
Where exactly was that?
It's the second book. So.
Yeah, everybody knows doesn't quite cut the mustard, does it?
Oh, yeah, it's understood. It's just common knowledge.
Right.
Oh, here's one in Exodus. I don't know if this qualifies. Exodus 2:20. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God acknowledged them. That's when they were complaining in Egypt, I believe. Yeah.
Well, I added chosen to my search to make sure we were...
And the children of Israel groaned because of the... Now, see, it's saying children of Israel, not necessarily children of God, but...
Now, there were special things that happened, like to Jacob, though. You know, he had that vision of the angels ascending and descending. And Jacob, too, was the father of all the... You know?
He was the father of the 12, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, see in Exodus 3:10-11, come now therefore and I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
10, that was.
Very good, yeah.
Well, yeah, that's right. That's when basically, because there is some point, because doesn't Moses somewhere, maybe I'm confusing this with a movie, but doesn't Moses, as he's kind of kicked out, cry out and says, you know, why have you forsaken your people or something? And he says, I have heard the cries of my people.
Well, now here, I just saw something that's kind of interesting.
Yeah, that's right.
So God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob.
Okay.
And God looked upon the children and God acknowledged them. So.
His covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Yeah.
Oh, I wonder what the covenant of, wonder what that covenant was.
I kind of get
the covenant with Abraham. You know, there were some things that were that God said when he told him, you know. But I don't know about Isaac and Jacob. But. But anyway, we get to move into that room. We get to you know, you get.
You know, Abraham kind of was called the father of faith. And what do you say about him?
Well, he said, of your seed will all the something be forever.
You know? Yeah, right.
And then later in the New Testament, it gets written, we're of Abraham's seed, the one seed.
Well, does it say something about Abraham and faith? And it was accounted to him for righteousness?
Mm-hmm.
How did it say that?
Is that in Hebrews?
Abraham believed God?
Yeah. It was...
Or something.
Hebrews 4, I think.
That's interesting. There's a covenant with Jacob, but his name is late changed to Israel.
maybe the covenant occurred at the time of that wrestling match.
Yeah. And I'm sure he spoke to each one and said, you know, and made a covenant because of what their faith and whatever was.
Uh-huh.
And gave him a promise, you know.
Hebrews 11.
Was the, yeah, that's right.
By faith, when called to go to a place received as an inheritance. By faith, Abraham, when called to go. Yeah. 11, it looks like Hebrews 7 and 8. 11, 8, and then again, 11, 17.
He went out not knowing whither he went. By faith, he abode in the land of promise, as in a strange land, as one that dwelt in tents with Isaac, and Jacob heirs with him of the same promise.
Oh, there you go. That's the covenant. Verse 9. The promise.
Yeah.
And he made it.
That's where
he included
for
Isaac and Jacob in there, right?
For he looked for a city having a foundation, whose builder and maker is God.
See, I got a little confused. I didn't realize Abraham went back that far. He's pretty close. He's not far after. You know, he's in Genesis where it's...
Yeah, yeah. It's
not far after, you know, everything started. So he probably...
Right.
That probably was when maybe you're right about saying, you know, became children or his chosen because of Abraham.
And it doesn't look like it was a long, 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 long time before the flood. But we don't know that.
You mean after the flood? For Abraham?
From creation to the flood.
Oh, creation to the flood, yeah. No. Well, long
That's
enough for
true,
things to go kind of bad, but...
Yeah.
But we have a really good ability to make that happen.
Kind of was only like about, what would you say, the family of Noah is about the only people of God left.
That was it.
Yeah.
That was it. Yeah, then we start all over again with this problem of...
Yeah.
Where did all these people come from?
Right.
And God looked down from his window in the sky and said, I created man, but I can't remember why. Nothing but fighting since creation day. I'm going to send a little water and wash them all away.
According to...
not scripture,
you remember that
by
song?
The way.
Sure.
According to Google, Adam to the flood was 1,656 years.
From Adam to the flood, 1,000. Okay.
Now, so you say life is, you know, from Adam to today is 7,000 years.
Boy.
That was, I mean, we got 25% of the way there before God said,
how much from the flood till Abraham, I wonder?
Well, let's see what it says.
Yeah, from flood to Abraham, that'd be interesting.
we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but with principalities and powers, rulers, wickedness, and high places.
Yeah.
And we're trying to win a battle you can't win. Only God can win it.
Now I read in I heard it in First Timothy. Or I was listening, and it ended up being, I think it's in 1 Timothy 5 something, but it, Paul says, and you were called to eternal life. We were talking about being called and chosen.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
of course, right. I mean, you can't build a thing on one word, but.
How you can?
Well, some have, but.
I have.
Let's see.
I'm looking, and it appears that from the flood, Noah. You know, Noah was from, you get a range of 100 years, and Abraham was 300 years after that.
300 after, huh?
Yeah, so I saw one place said 265, so it wasn't that long that he found.
How many years did you say?
About under 300.
Before the flood?
No.
After, between the flood and Abraham.
Between flood and Abraham.
Okay.
But from creation to the flood,
yeah,
was 1,636 years. 1,636.
If these people are living 800 years, 900 years, whatever else.
Yeah, about three generations.
Had a whole lot of overlap.
Some of these people then that were in the flood are mentioned in here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So, what do you mean, some of the people from the flood?
Well, some of the people that are mentioned in the Bible were part of the flood.
Ah, I bet they were.
Yeah.
Yeah, I bet they were. Yeah.
It does, if you can see it, it's possible that a lot of them died on the same day.
Yeah.
Here's another Bible view, says it's approximately 400 years between from the death of Noah to the call of Abraham. About 400 years.
Yeah. It takes about one column in the in the Bible to get from Noah to Abraham.
Well, you know, not a lot was going on.
Right.
And not a lot that God felt was worthy for us to know about.
Right.
I mean, after the flood, really what was important was that he found someone who was going to be the father of his people.
Yeah.
The way it's been right in here lately, every so often, I've been thinking about climbing out and crawling in the boat. Not really.
Well, we seem to have a lot of storms, but not that much water.
Well, we're reading in the book of Acts this evening. I just opened it up and started reading. I got into chapter 19, verse 11, where it says, Now, God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul. And I looked at that and I had to read it again because the word unusual miracles caught my attention. Okay? So that even handkerchiefs or aprons from the... just a minute. Which was so that... Oh, Romans 19:11.
Or Acts 19.
So that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the disease left them, and evil spirits went out of them. So, I mean, I thought, holy cow. You know, that he wasn't even there, but pieces of clothing that he owned healed people.
And people had faith to believe that that was what was going to happen with it.
Yeah. You know, it just caught my attention when they said unusual miracles. You know, I thought, what kind of unusual miracle is it? You know,
that's pretty unusual, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, here, Hank, go hear yourself.
Yeah, we'll make this on someone and they'll be healed.
Yeah.
We're ordinarily happy with usual miracles, but these were unusual ones.
Yeah.
And there's a certain place, I'm not sure where it's at yet. It said that the people were looking for the shadow of Peter
when he passed by. Yeah.
Right. Because the power of God was on them.
He was healing in that, huh?
Yeah, there was healing in just his mere shadow.
Yeah. As he walked by him.
Mm-hmm. See, you know what? I just thought of something. When it's God's timing or whatever, how long do you think you have to pray for deliverance? Here, you didn't even pray at all. You just laid a handkerchief and the spirits came out of them.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But that's God's choosing to do that at that time.
Uh-huh.
He could still make us go through that just to see where our faith is.
Well, it just shows you the power of Him, though.
Yeah.
It did.
You know.
Do whatever He wants.
Yeah.
Right.
However He wants to do it.
This one? Oh, boy. The new... King James.
Yeah,
that's because King James has the word special, so I was kind of curious.
Oh, instead of unusual?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I got King James at home, too, so sometimes I read one and then go back, see how they all read. Where is it, you know?
A special is unusual.
Yes, it is.
Or either way, you know?
I was going to argue a miracle by definition is unusual.
Well, I kind of think it is.
Yeah.
I say if there's an unusual miracle, it means like a double.
Right.
Aren't they all unusual?
Where does it talk about the shadow of Peter?
I just want to see how many different ways they said that. So extraordinary, miracles, special, unusual.
I suppose extraordinary would.
Yeah, extraordinary works.
Well, like I said, the word unusual did strike my attention.
You wonder sometimes why they think they have to change certain words, don't you? Why they feel the need to have to change a certain word to make it what? I mean, how extraordinary, why would you have to say extraordinary? Because unusual says a whole lot. You know, it's just we just want to say it better. Because in my language, that sounds as good to me that way as in English, you know.
Well, but the thing is that the trash cleaner sees this word, and whether it's in the Greek or whatever, probably in the Greek. And as far as he's concerned, that word doesn't necessarily mean what he saw somewhere else. In his mind, it'd be something else.
I don't know. Maybe they have some good reason, you know, for the, that. Acts 5.
5:15.
5:15.
Yeah, King James, in so much that they were brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing might overshadow some of them.
So that mean they were healed or died?
Well, I'm pretty sure they thought.
Twice they were healed, doesn't it? What they were there for.
Yeah, it says.
I have a little job for you tomorrow, Chuck.
The next verse says, a multitude came out of the cities round unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks, and them that were vexed with unclean spirits, who were all healed. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, because it doesn't say in verse 15 that they were healed. You have to read 16 to get that.
No.
They brought the
whack. Well, we were seriously
a shadow.
Yeah, right.
But you're right.
You were flying around in here, did you notice?
Yeah. The point was the shadow, Peter wasn't praying for him. Just the shadows on them, and they were healed from that, mm-hmm. as well as the plague. But you're right, Ken. I've gone back and forth in this.
Right.
You should, you know, we kind of mock the, you know, going on, you know, but really, that's all it really needs, right? You pray. And it's,
oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's where I get worried about. I'm going to fervently pray, and then I'm going to pray at an intercessory level, and then I'm going to, you know, and I'm physically making more noise or speaking louder, but I don't know if that's spiritually any stronger. I don't know if God goes, well, you know, he's really trying. and the power goes out because he was sincere in his effort to pray. Yet on the other hand, you know, I don't know how, sometimes I think that there's some effectiveness in that. I mean, maybe the demons react to that in a way I don't know. I don't.
But then we're told to behave like the guy who was knocking on the door of the house, and the guy says, "Go away. The doors are all locked. We're in bed with the children." You know.
They could say we can't make a formula for any one thing.
Yeah.
I guess.
Well, true. True. I mean, I think it's fair to say. Well, how long should you have to pray? And then you could say, as long as it takes.
Mm-hmm.
And who's to say that, I mean, even the apostles came back and said, we were sent out by Jesus to pray for people, and we couldn't, these spirits never came out. And that's when Jesus makes that rather unusual comment. He says, well, these spirits require fasting.
Yeah,
and I'm like, okay.
I think you got two different things going there.
Oh, maybe.
Because when he sent them out, they came back saying, even the demons are subject to us. But later on, when they were praying.
There was a, yeah, they had
then,
no luck.
And they couldn't get it out.
This kind comes out. But,
yeah.
For fasting.
You're right. You're correct. But no, but
that's
good. But my point that I was trying to make was that.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, they. Even those that were trained by Jesus came back and said, didn't happen.
Yeah, why couldn't we get this spirit to come out?
Right.
And then kind of the answer was, well, you don't have enough of the juice. You know, in a very ad hoc way was, well, you know, you're standing before God wasn't quite what it needed to be in this instance.
Yeah.
That's another subject. So, should we be praying and fasting more often? Because then things would happen.
Maybe.
You know?
Maybe Mark Ingridson's, whatever, you know. I realize my own prayer life is pretty darn scant right now.
Yeah, mine is.
Going back to Genesis there, and Abraham and all that, you know, right at the beginning, in Genesis 12, he says, First time we hear anything about Abraham. It says, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto the land that I will show you. And I will make of thee a great nation, and will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. I will also bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curse thee. Let all the families of the earth be blessed. You know, that idea of people bless, you know, bless Israel, you'll be blessed. Curse Israel, you'll be cursed.
Yeah.
Starts
with Abraham.
Yeah, starts right, just bang, right start there.
Well, I've heard that often that the biggest problem we have around the whole Israel is that people think God's a real estate agent. Because Scripture says, this is your land, and those who say, well, then I'm the rightful owner, and God says, and someone says, God isn't interested in the land. He's interested, you know, and hence you have a disagreement.
Yeah.
Pretty tough to parse.
Well, you got to kind of figure they're still in the natural, so he's going to still honor them to a certain degree in the natural, probably.
Well, the land is contested, from the very beginning. There's all this contest for who's claiming this land. And the land doesn't seem real appealing now. Maybe it looked a little better then, but, just a lot of desert.
A little closer to when Eden was around, it seemed.
I suppose.
So, more prized.
I think there was probably a little more grass then.
A little more green.
That looks pretty darn barren. And what's the... Hey, there's places that... There's places in Missouri that look a whole lot better than that, and there's nobody there. Either you, the Palestinians, or you, the Jews, move to Missouri.
Whatever. Yeah?
Yeah, well.
Uncle Arthur.
Little Arthur? Acting up? Little Arthur acting up?
Yeah. Lady said that she knew the rightest way that Arthur was one of the worst.
The rightest boys.
The rightest man, right. But Arthur was the worst of them.
Oh, man.
You gotta
listen close.
You've got more interesting knowledge, I tell you.
It's funny though how many little things those were way back.
Yeah.
Like you were probably young when you heard that.
Oh yeah.
How do people think that up?
I think the trick is to come up with a question that the Bible really doesn't give a good answer, and we can burn an hour really quick.
There's a lot of those questions.
Well, yeah, they are, and I think...
Normally we could say, what a waste of time, but in the process of doing that, you come across a lot of things that make things fall into place.
Edifying, sure.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a waste of time, but I start with the question, what's the difference between your spirit and a soul? And your soul? And you go, that's a big chunk of meat there to be gnawed on. That's a pretty heavy question. And so then if you make a good faith effort to try and understand
I just was reading the scripture that said that your spirit, soul, and body may be something.
But when Jesus died on the cross, he said, he gave up the ghost.
They refer to his life essence as the ghost. And Jesus gave up the ghost.
Ghost had a different meaning than the one, I think.
Well, okay. I mean, it may, in fact, but if you know, the Holy Ghost, if you say he gave up the Spirit of God, the fullness of God dwelling within him, and he gave it up, and you said he gave up the ghost, I would go, all right. But if you, if you're trying to say, no, he released his soul because he died, I'm going, I don't know that he can do that.
I wouldn't, with a different meaning, what is this ghost thing?
Yeah, so I as Glenn points out, well, that's what they call it. Now, I haven't checked, I don't know if every translation says that. That's probably a good one.
Gave over to death, right?
Yeah. But he also says, Father, why have you forsaken me? So the Spirit was probably not in him at that time either, of God.
Well, we were talking about that. Why was he crying out to the Lord if he was getting the revelation from the Lord like he did in most of his ministry?
Yeah. But then he was quoting Psalms in the process of doing that too. So
I was thinking about that. Been on my mind all week. Where the Spirit of God wasn't with him. And I was thinking, I can't imagine what it would be like to have the Spirit of God with you through your walk, and then all of a sudden you realize it's not there anymore. And you're on your own, you're facing death without, just by yourself. I can't imagine what that was like for Jesus to go through that.
Terrible despair, right?
At that moment of time,
My God, why hast thou forsaken me?
And it says, that the torment in hell is that God pulled away from them.
Yeah.
They don't have any presence of God anymore. So that would be horrible. Obviously, that's horrible, because if you think about how good you're feeling right now just because he hasn't pulled back.
Yeah.
From the world necessarily. And I suppose it leaves you then in the company of demons who don't like the fact that they made a wrong choice.
I have had periods of when the Spirit of the Lord was not there and it was a bad feeling, that I'm... Jesus is quoting Psalms when he says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But maybe he wasn't doing that. Maybe he was just saying that, and the psalmist was speaking by way of prophecy of what was going to be. What Jesus would say at that point.
Was it David? Was it one of
Psalm David? I think so.
Because
I think it is.
He might have cried out at one point.
For his own reasons.
Yeah.
He may have. But they are the very things that Jesus said when he was there on the cross.
I never thought about that, that was said in Psalms.
Yeah. Yep. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And that's
like you say,
right out of Psalms. It
could be a prophecy too, though.
That
he would. That would be something he was going to experience and say. Where does it? So at one of the ends of one of the Gospels, it must give the reference to Psalms.
Yes, it surely does. And right now, I don't know which of the Gospels it is that.
I just saw in 14 in John, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe in also in me.
Where's the live by? Right?
Yeah. Oh, I'm trying to get to the end of John. See if that's one of the places.
I don't think it's Luke.
Well, Mark 15:34 is where, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?
Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani.
Does it give a reference to Psalms?
I was looking. 22:1. Psalms 22:1. What do I see in my King James?
22:1. My God, why have you forsaken me? That is to the chief musician set to the deer of the dawn, a psalm of David.
Well, and that was the way David felt while he was in.
Yeah, I guess if you read, because, okay, so, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning? Oh, my God, I cry in the daytime, but you do not hear. So, in the night season, and I'm not silent. So, anyway, that's where he was feeling like God had pulled away from him.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Yeah, and Glenn, you were kind of saying, I was trying to think, you know, Jesus walked with so much light because he had the fullness of God with him, and then that light extinguished. Yeah. You know what I mean? And all of a sudden he's in darkness. I mean, it's kind of like losing your sight all of a sudden.
Well, it's just like that. Before a shock to a system alone.
Yeah. That, you know, it's bad for us. Imagine what it'd be like for Jesus to have that lifted.
Oh, yeah.
I kept reading in that Psalm. No. David, in Psalm verse 6. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised by the people. All those who see me ridicule me, they shoot out the lip, they shake the head, saying,
where's this at?
Psalm 22.
He trusted in the Lord, let him rescue him, let him deliver him, since he delights in him.
Does that sound familiar?
Yeah.
That's what they were saying.
It is what they were saying. That's
Well, it's got stars.
22 is that center?
There's a star next to verse 1 and a star next to verse 7 and 8, which is supposed to be prophetic of Christ.
Those are your stars, or that was in the version of
they're in the Bible. They use symbols.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I did not realize that. There in Psalms 8, he trusted in God, let him deliver him, let him save him,
right,
seeing he loved him, which is just...
Which says in Matthew 27:43.
Yeah.
That's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah.
I tell you, see, this is David. Look at some of the places he was in, I mean, at times, you know, but then he can say, but you are he who took me out of the womb. You made me trust while on my mother's breast. I was cast upon you from birth. From my mother's womb you have been my God. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Boy, that 22 has all kinds of references.
Yeah.
17,
bones,
18, the garments and bones. I will declare your name to my brethren. 22. Mm-hmm. Huh. My bones are out of joint.
Yeah.
And then, praise the Lord, verse 23, praise the Lord, ye that fear him, magnify his name, all the seed of Jacob, and fear ye him, all the seed of Israel.
Yeah.
Just a kind of change of tone there.
For he has not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted. Nor has he hidden his face from him, but when he cried to him, he heard. All of a sudden, he's starting to get faith back, you know.
My praise shall be of thee in the great congregation. My vows will I have. The poor shall eat and be satisfied. That's and it really it does parallel the death, burial, and resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
I remember when we said something about, you know, all shall bow. There's a reference here. 29. All the prosperous of the earth shall eat and worship. All those who go down to the dust shall bow before him, even he who cannot keep himself alive.
Yeah.
So, you may be bowing uh-huh. whether you want to or not.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Yeah, David is probably the right I don't want to use character because that is the wrong thing, but the right testimony to look at the being troubled in the natural,
yeah,
and just riding above
kind of a model in that, yeah.
He, you know,
uh-huh.
being chased and
yep,
and just.
It's kind of like he gets down in that low period, but then all of a sudden he starts remembering all the attributes of this God that he thinks forsook him, and then all of a sudden it just starts bringing him back.
Yeah.
And then faith rises, and then he's making,
yeah.
you know.
And then, you know, people call out to Jesus, oh, Jesus, son of David, you know.
Yeah.
That David connection was something that
be careful where you walk. No.
Was significant.
Got dogs.
It's probably a good spot to stop. We love you all.